Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, May 16, 2024, 1 John.
All right, a couple of announcements before we get started. Today is Ryan Abbott's birthday. He got sick eating all of his birthday cake and didn't make it to class tonight. Also, these flyers are out in the hallway. These are for you for the Vacation Bible School. Take as many of these as you want to give to your neighbors, friends, waiters at the restaurant you go to, whoever you want to give them to. There are already 9 people signed up for Vacation Bible School as we speak. So take as many of these as you want, and these are for you to give to people. Let them know that we have Vacation Bible School at Upland Bible Church. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5, the greatest epistle to define the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, which is virtue love, and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 1 John chapter 5, and in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 1 John chapter 5, we have the verses 1 through 3, the development of virtue love. The ultimate objective for the spiritual life in the church age is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that is developed in three stages of the development of virtue love. Stage one is personal love for God the Father. That has to come first. And once you have personal love for God the Father, and this is the great motivational virtue. There are two great motivational virtues in virtue love. Personal love for God the Father and personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. But this is developed first. And then stage two of the development of virtue love is impersonal love for all mankind. That is the great functional virtue of virtue love. And then finally, the last stage of the development of virtue love is stage three, which is occupation with Jesus Christ. And this is also a great motivational virtue, as we have witnessed when the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter three different times, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And every time he said, "Yes," "then feed my sheep." The great motivational virtue that motivates every faithful communicator of the Word of God to study and teach and study and teach and study and teach to feed the Lord's sheep is occupation with Jesus Christ. The winner pastor teachers, the spiritually mature pastor teachers who have virtue love brought to completion in their heart, who have this great occupation with Jesus Christ, they love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's what motivates faithful communicators to get in and study and study and study and study. Al came in this evening and gave me a check. I said, "Well, you know, this is great." I said, "I get paid for being on vacation. And my vacation is 365 days. I'm on vacation 365 days out of the year. And I get paid a 365-day vacation." I said, "This is very great. Thank you very much. This is my happy place, and I would rather be here than anywhere else. There's nowhere else I would rather be than right here. Nowhere else I'd rather be than in my happy place studying. Nowhere else I'd rather be than right here feeding the Lord's sheep." So there are two great motivational virtues. Personal love for God the Father is the first motivational virtue that's developed, and that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue. And the last stage of virtue love, stage three, occupation with Jesus Christ. Personal love for God is the first great motivational virtue of virtue love. Stage one of virtue love, and therefore personal love for God the Father must precede the great functional virtue of virtue love, which is impersonal love for all mankind, stage two of virtue love. Personal love for God is invisible, as is stage three, occupation with Jesus Christ. That is also invisible. However, impersonal love for all is visible and has great visible impact. Personal love for God is also great confidence in God. Great confidence in God and great confidence in the Word of God. When you develop personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, you will have the greatest confidence in God and the greatest confidence in the Word of God as a result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And then you're going to have a fabulous, fabulous life in the short time while you're here and then for all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your security is not anything in anything that man can provide. Your security is 100% in God. When you have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, you have maximum confidence in God and His Word, and then you have the greatest security in your soul. 1 John 5, verse 1 sounds like this. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God the Father, has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father, the one who regenerates with personal love for God, also loves the one who has been regenerated by Him, all fellow believers with impersonal love for all. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ are the two great motivating virtues of virtue love. They are invisible virtues. People cannot see your personal love for God the Father, nor can they see your occupation with Jesus Christ. They are developed by you fulfilling your first royal commission, the royal commission as a royal priesthood, where you represent yourself before the Lord. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at your heart. However, the functional virtue of impersonal love for all is visible. Visible to man and visible to angels. When you have impersonal love for all, when you have developed honor to all, integrity to all, virtue to all, your life has great invisible impact. Verse 2. By this we have come to know that we love the children of God with impersonal love for all when you fulfill two conditions. Condition number one, when we love God, when we first of all have developed personal love for God the Father, and when we fulfill condition number two, when we execute His mandates. God the Father's mandate for the royal family in the church age is to live the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. His mandate is given in Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit, that you might not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Fulfilling consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine by fulfilling the mandate. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to know the Word of God before you can execute the will of God. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God, and therefore it is vitally important to get under the authority of a sound doctrinal Bible teacher and consistently and faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine. It is impossible to do the will of God unless you know exactly what the will of God is as revealed in the Word of God. Verse 3, and we've just got started in verse 3. Verse 3, for this is love for God. That is the corrected translation. You have to understand, if you're not studying the Word of God from the original languages, why, you won't know what the hell God the Holy Spirit is trying to say. But this is an objective genitive, and there are 26 different kinds of genitives in the Koine Greek. This is an objective genitive. And in the objective genitive, the noun and the genitive, which is theos here, acts as the object of or receives the action implied in the verbal noun to which it stands related, which is agape. And therefore, in the objective genitive, it must be translated, for this is love for God. This is an objective genitive. For this is love for God. The motivational virtue of personal love for God. That we keep His commandments. This is hina plus the present active subjunctive of the verb tereo that we stopped right in here last time. Plus the accusative plural of entole with a definite article. Plus the genitive singular of autos. The conjunction hina has a very special use in our verse. Dana and Manti, the authors of a manual grammar of the Greek New Testament, on page 249 tells us that in our verse, hina introduces an appositional clause. And therefore, it should be correctly translated, for this is the love for God, namely, that we continue keeping His mandates, that we continue tereoing His mandates. And that is our verb tereo. That's where we stopped last time. That's where we start this evening. Tereo, great verb. T, long E, R, E, long O. Tereo. Couple of things on this verb. First of all, tereo literally means to guard, to keep watch over, or to guard. In fact, this is the verb that was used for guarding a prisoner. Two, then it came to mean to keep, to hold, to reserve, to preserve. To keep, to hold, to reserve, to preserve. Three, it means to keep something so you don't lose it. Now, the older you get, this is a very hard thing. Getting harder and harder to keep things and you don't lose it. Even my deacons have figured out that they have keys, and they're the only ones that handle those keys. And then they lose it, and they can't figure out, any of them, where in the hell did those keys go? That's all right. I send them out and make more keys. That's all you got to do. Four, it means to keep in the sense of protecting something. Keep in the sense of protecting something. And then point five is based on the Greek lexicon, Arndt and Gingrich, on page 822. And on Arndt and Gingrich, page 822, it says that tereo in our verse is specifically used for executing, observing, fulfilling, paying attention to the teaching of the Word of God. So, Arndt and Gingrich says, in our verse it means to observe, to fulfill, to pay attention to execute. The present tense has linear action, Sard, namely that we keep on executing God's mandates. The active voice, the believer who has personal love for God the Father, performs the action of the verb. The subjunctive mood goes along with hina to introduce this appositional clause. And then we have entele. Once again, we've seen this again and again. Already, entole, E-N-T-O-L, long E, entole. Entole is the word for order or command or mandate, and we'll translate it mandate. And once again, we have autos, Okay. Yeah, well, I don't want it to be on there for 30 seconds. So. Why can't we have this without it coming on?
Yeah, I'm not sure on this one. We ran it tonight before class started, which is our standard procedure, and it's not supposed to run during class. So something happened. I can get it to stop here. Oh, there it goes. Sorry about that.
I don't want that coming up.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Bingham. The intensive pronoun, which is commonly used as the third person personal pronoun. In classical Greek, it's always an intensive pronoun, but not in Koine Greek. A-U-T-O-S. It's most of the time used as the third person personal pronoun, translated his. These are his mandates. These are his commands. That is, these are God's mandates as revealed in the God-breathed scriptures. So, for this is the love for God, personal love for God the Father, namely, that we keep on executing His mandates. That's exactly what this is saying. For this is the love for God, personal love for God the Father, namely, that we keep on executing His mandates. And then he adds, and his commandments, in the King James, are not burdensome. This is the conjunction chi, plus the nominative plural of entele with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of autos, plus the present active indicative of eimi with the objective negative uk, plus the nominative plural of barous. The conjunction chi is the continuative chi, correctly translated and. Once again, we have hi entelai autu, which is his commands, his mandates, that is God's mandates. And then we have eimi with the objective negative uk. Eimi plus uk. E-I-M-I plus the objective negative uk, O-U-K. And when you have that together, it means absolutely are not. God's mandates absolutely are not barous. They absolutely are not barous. B-A-R-U-S, barous. All right, one. Literally, barous means heavy. Literally, it means heavy. Two, figuratively, it means burdensome, difficult, or difficult to fulfill. Figuratively, which is how it's used here in our verse, it means burdensome or difficult to fulfill. So three, God's mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill. All you have to have is humility and positive volition. But we don't have very many believers today who have humility and positive volition. And so they do not fulfill God's mandates because they're arrogant. They are negative, they do not have positive volition and humility, and so they do not fulfill God's mandates. And it isn't because they're burdensome, it's because they're too damn arrogant. It's because they have negative volition to what God gives in His Word by way of mandates. God's mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill. for. They are not difficult to fulfill because God has provided the grace and the power so that you can fulfill them. Not your power. It's God's grace and God's power. They are not difficult to fulfill because God has provided His grace and His power so that you can fulfill them. And when God gives you His grace and His power, they absolutely are not difficult to fulfill. 5, He has provided the unique spiritual life of the church age. He has provided the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of the indwelling of the Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. The supernatural power to fulfill God's mandates is God the Holy Spirit and God's grace. So, corrected translation, verse 3. For this is the love for God, personal love for God the Father, namely, that we keep on executing His mandates. And His mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill. That's powerful. This is a powerful verse. For this is the love for God, personal love for God the Father. Namely, that we keep on executing His mandates. And His mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill. All you have to have is positive volition and humility. But if you're negative and arrogant, it's impossible for you to fulfill. And you won't. You won't, because you are missing out on the two things. All you have to have, you see, when the Magi went to visit the king of the Jews, they were Magi bringing gifts. Well, you assemble at Upland Bible Church to worship the King, Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater ever that you will ever do than assemble and worship the King, Jesus Christ. And you only need two gifts, just two gifts, positive volition and humility. Respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it, and positive volition. Thing is, we got a lot of Christians today. They don't give a damn about the King. Too busy doing their own thing. For this is the love for God, personal love for God the Father. Namely, that we keep on executing His mandates. And His mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill. 1. God's mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill when you are living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. It's a piece of cake. God's mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill when you are living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. However, when you're living in Satan's cosmic system, then God's mandates are impossible. Impossible to fulfill. However, when you are living in Satan's cosmic system, then God's mandates are impossible to fulfill. 3. when you are living outside of the spiritual life, and God has given us in the church age a unique spiritual life. It was never given in the Old Testament times. Moses didn't have it. David didn't have it. Abraham didn't have it. First person to ever have it was Jesus Christ at the incarnation. He had it in his hypostatic union. He had it for his true humanity. And he lived it and he tested it all out. And then when he was finished, he passed it on to his royal family. We're the royal family of God. He passed on that unique spiritual life that he was the first one to live it. He passed it on to us. Why? Because now we're living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And it's pretty obvious we're living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, and most of the believers, most of the members of the royal family are casualties. Total casualties in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. They are not living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the power, the grace and power of God. We're living that after the Satan became ruler of planet Earth, the attack, Satan's attack was on the line of Christ. And then with the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, the attack of Satan was on Jesus Christ himself. But following the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of the Son of God at the right hand of the Father, now his attack is on the body of Christ. Never. That was not the attack throughout human history. But now the attack is on the body of Christ. Every single church age believer. And for us to be winners in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, well, you have to live this unique spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. And if you are not doing that, you will not be a winner believer. You're a loser believer. And you are a casualty in the angelic conflict. And why is the United States of America on the verge of extinction? Because as goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. And the pivot is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. God's made it very clear in His Word. It's the same God. He's holy. He's the holy God. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He's infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinite honor, infinitely fair with all of His creation. And when the client nation of God turns away from Him and His Word, His holiness brings judgment. The five cycles of national discipline, and the client nation is gone. When the client nation of God, the believers, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and the pivot increases, God blesses that client nation. God is not blessing America today. He is judging America today. Because the pivot is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. He's judging America today. If the pivot were increasing and getting bigger, He would be blessing us today. He's not blessing us today. He's disciplining us today. And it's getting greater and greater, and one of these days, we won't be here. So, however, when you are living in Satan's cosmic system, then God's mandates are impossible to fulfill. 3, when you are living outside of the spiritual life, in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, it is impossible to fulfill God's mandates. When you are living outside of the spiritual life in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, cosmic one and cosmic two, and who invented those? Who's the ruler of planet Earth? Who invented those to rule planet Earth? Satan did, and he's ruling most of our planet. It is impossible to fulfill God's mandates when you're outside of the spiritual life. 4, God's mandates include 1, using the problem-solving device of rebound when you sin. When you sin, use the problem-solving device of rebound. It's a mandate in Revelation 3:19 and 1 John 1:9. Secondly, Ephesians 5:18, the mandate. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Third, Galatians 5:16, a mandate. Keep on walking, which means keep on living your life by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. And then you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. 4, Ephesians 4:30. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. 5, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Stop quenching the Spirit. Six, Hebrews 10:25. Stop forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing. Hebrews 10:25. Stop forsaking the assembling of yourself together as some are in the habit of doing. 7, 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up spiritually. Grow up in the grace orientation, and the knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are God's mandates. These are just some of God's mandates. 5, obeying the mandates of God are as simple as 1, saying no to temptations from the sin nature. Obeying the mandates of God are as simple as saying no to temptations from the sin nature. And secondly, rebounding when you fail to say no to temptations from the sin nature. And 3, having the positive volition and the humility to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Having the positive volition and the humility to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. These mandates that God has given us are not burdensome. They absolutely are not difficult to fulfill. So, 1 John 5:1-3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of the Father, has been born of God, regeneration. And everyone who loves the Father, the one who regenerates with personal love for God, also loves the one who has been regenerated by him, all fellow believers, with impersonal love for all. By this, we have come to know that we love the children of God with impersonal love for all when we fulfill these two conditions. Condition one, when we love God, have personal love for God the Father, and when we, condition number two, and when we execute his mandates. Verse 3, for this is the love for God, personal love for God the Father, namely, that we keep on executing his mandates, and his mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill. One, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Stage one of virtue love, personal love for God the Father. Stage two of virtue love, impersonal love for all mankind. Stage three of virtue love, occupation with Jesus Christ. Two, there are three parts to virtue love, and all three of them are problem-solving devices. Problem-solving devices that God has given to us, his royal family. Three, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ both serve as motivational virtues in life. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ both serve as motivational virtues in life. Four, the virtue is found in the object of our personal love, and the object is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, as the author and designer of Operation Grace, and God the Father as the author and designer of the spiritual life, and God the Son, who won the strategic victory on the cross, solving the world's problem of sin, and the one who tested out and passed on to us, the royal family, the unique spiritual life of the church age. Five, in effect, virtue love is thinking Bible doctrine. It's having maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. In effect, virtue love is thinking Bible doctrine. It's having maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Six, personal love for God and occupation with Jesus Christ motivates impersonal love for all mankind. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ motivates impersonal love for all mankind. Seven, impersonal love for all is unconditional love. Unconditional toward all mankind. When you limit it in any way, you don't have impersonal love for all mankind. It's unconditional for all The good, the bad, the ugly. We got a lot of bad and ugly today. Very few good. But impersonal love for all is unconditional love for all mankind. 8. Impersonal love is the ultimate expression of virtue, humility, objectivity, and spiritual growth of the subject, the one doing the loving. Impersonal love is the ultimate expression of virtue, humility, objectivity, and spiritual growth of the subject, the one doing the loving. And impersonal love for all mankind is the only way you will give the rest of the human race a fair shake. And the only way that you will fulfill your second royal commission. We have all been commissioned a royal ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. 9. Virtue love is not based on any human standards. Virtue love is not based on any human standards. It is based on having the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures in your heart. Virtue love is not based on any human standards. It's based on having the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures in your heart. You cannot be in a state of ignorance of the Word of God and love God the Father or the Lord Jesus Christ. And sad to say, very few believers today have fellowship with God the Father or the Lord Jesus Christ because they do not love God. 10. Before you can ever have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have to know who and what God is. You have to know His essence. You have to know His attributes. And I've heard a lot of Christians say that, well, I know God is love. They usually say, God is love. You don't even know what the attribute of God's love is. God is virtue love. God is virtue love. And the Apostle John, the one that the Lord Jesus Christ loved to be around and be with, because the Apostle John nailed it. Every time Jesus Christ had a Bible class, John nailed it. He got it. And what we see in the epistle of 1 John is what he learned from the Lord Jesus Christ at the first advent in all those Bible classes. And that's why the Lord loved to be around John. And he presents all that was taught in those Bible classes in the great epistle of 1 John. The great epistle that defines and explains exactly what virtue love is. Before you can ever have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have to know who and what God is. You have to know the essence of God, the attributes of God, and especially you have to know that God is virtue love. John taught this in 1 John 4, verse 10. In this is virtue love. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son, the propitiation for our sin. 1 John 4:19. We and only we, royal family of God, living the spiritual life, love with impersonal love for all. Because He, God, first loved us with impersonal love for all. 11. It is impossible to love the invisible God apart from knowing Him. It is impossible to love the invisible God apart from knowing Him. In order to have personal love for God the Father and personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to know His thinking. His thinking is the mind of Christ. His thinking is the Word of God. So again, 1 John 5, 1-3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God the Father, has been born of God, regeneration. And everyone who loves the Father, the one who regenerates with personal love for God, also loves the one who has been regenerated by Him, all fellow believers, with impersonal love for all. By this we have come to know that we love the children of God with impersonal love for all, because we fulfilled these two conditions. Condition one, when we love God, have personal love for God the Father. And condition number two, when we execute His mandates. For this is the love for God, personal love for God, namely, that we keep on executing His mandates. And His mandates absolutely are not difficult to fulfill. One. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, are the two great motivational virtues of the spiritual life. They are the two great motivational virtues of the spiritual life. Two, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, personal love for the Lord, motivate you to have impersonal love for all, the great functional virtue of the spiritual life. Personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, motivates you to have impersonal love for all, the great functional virtue of the spiritual life. But love for God must come first. Love for God must come first. And with that love for God, and plus H, sharing the happiness of God, you will have a fantastic life in relationships to people. All people relationships. All kinds. Three. Personal love for God and personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, provides the only true and genuine motivation for the royal family of God in the church age. Personal love for God the Father and personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, provides the only true and genuine motivation for believer, the royal family of God in the church age. Four, personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, insulates the believer. Insulates the believer against arrogance and all of the sins associated with arrogance, which is mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Personal love for God the Father and personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, insulates the believer against arrogance and all of its mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. 5. Personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward God the Father and toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Personal love is only a virtue when directed toward God the Father and toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Six. The only love directed toward man that has virtue is impersonal love, because it is unconditional. Unconditional. It's directed toward all mankind. The only love directed toward man that has virtue is impersonal love, because it is unconditional. It's directed toward all mankind. Impersonal love for all contains built-in virtue. You can tell if someone has virtue in their soul by observing their attitude toward people, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Do they have unconditional, impersonal love for all? Impersonal love is virtue. Impersonal love is honor. Impersonal love is integrity. Unconditional love directed toward everyone, for all. 7. The functional virtue of impersonal love for all is commanded over and over and over in every Bible verse that says, love the brethren. Love all, which means love all members of the royal family of God. And every time you see, love your neighbor as yourself. And these mandates are given again and again and again. And those are all mandates, commanded. Functional virtue of impersonal love for all is commanded in every Bible verse that says to love the brethren, love all members of the royal family, love your neighbor as yourself. Impersonal love for all is an unconditional love for all mankind. It emphasizes the virtue of the subject, the one doing the loving, rather than attraction to or rapport with the object of love. Impersonal love for all is the ultimate expression of virtue, humility, objectivity, and spiritual growth of the one doing the loving. Impersonal love for all as mandated. Where did John get this? Well, he was paying attention in Bible class. Turn over to John 13. John 13. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. And there was an apostle there, John, who was getting everything he was teaching. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, impersonal love for all, even as I have loved you with impersonal love for all, that you also love one another with impersonal love for all. And then just turn over to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 12. He's still teaching. Jesus Christ still holding Bible class. Hasn't let out yet. Some of those Bible classes lasted several hours. Even some people fell asleep and fell out the window and broke their neck. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Verse 17, Jesus Christ is still teaching. This I command you, that you love one another. And then turn over to 1 John 3. Jesus Christ not holding this Bible class. This is John who was there and got everything that the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching. 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, first of all, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That mandate is for the whole world. The next one is for those who believe in Jesus Christ. And for those who believe in Christ, and to love one another, just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, commanded us. All right. Well, we're just getting started. Come back next week and you'll see application to a lot of this. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.